Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another show, episode number 28, recording live at the NASCAR Man Cave. I'm Crew Chief Tony, along here with the Professor. How you doing, B?
Woo! Kevin Harvin!
Yes!
He folded off.
Hell yeah!
That was filed in the Where Did He Come From? Right there.
He was up there for a while. I wasn't super. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but, that was good.
Hell yeah!
Good racing all the way around.
That was a great race.
You know, in Iowa, good racing there in Camping World and Xfinity. So,
yes.
Very good weekend of racing and Rick Allen from NBC being on the show last week.
They're kicking off next week.
Yeah, he was
a ball. People were showing him the love too on Twitter, which was awesome. So, yeah. Big thanks to Rick Allen last week.
Yeah, that was cool. But this week this is groundbreaking territory for us. So we have a guest on the line. We talked about it last week. We were pretty excited about it.
Yes.
But joining us on the line is driver of the number 25 N29 Capital Partners Toyota Camry with Venturini Motorsports, Natalie Decker. Welcome to the show. Natalie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for coming on.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Belated, right?
Yes, belated.
Yeah.
So are we allowed? You're still young enough. We can ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm still young enough to ask that question.
Okay.
I just turned 20.
Okay, awesome. Okay. Well, there's a point. And I mean, when a guy knows when, you know, you don't ask anymore.
That's right.
You know, it's just like, you know, so. Well, that's awesome. So, Natalie, you're our very first female guest on the show, and we're happy to have you. We're big ARCA fans here in Detroit, and I've been following you anyways, and then saw you in People magazine, of course, and we're going to try and promote you as best we can. So it was funny. So just before we came in here to record, I have a teenage daughter, Natalie. So I was telling her you're going to be on the show. She says, "Oh, great." She goes, "Well, then the IQ of the show will go up by about 50 points as soon as she's on the show."
That's funny.
Glad you're on the show. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, you know, I read a little bit more in People and everything, but tell us about what's going on with Natalie Decker, how you guys got into racing, your lot of family racing.
Yeah, I grew up around racing, a lot of snowmobile racing. My dad owns a snowmobile racetrack in Eagle River, Wisconsin. So I kind of got into it when I was younger, but I didn't really know what NASCAR was until I started figuring out like what go-karts were around 6 years old, and I begged my dad for a go-kart, and then when I turned 9 for my 9th birthday, he got me one, and then he was like, "Oh, she's gonna like be scared and not want to do it anymore, so like we'll be good, and she'll go back to like ballet and what I was all doing at the time." And then like 10 years later,
here we are. You went open wheel on that go-kart, didn't you?
Still going. So looking up some of the things you've done, I mean, you're pretty accomplished. What's I know Brandon's got the list.
I do have the list. 2012 CWSSA Championship.
2012, you were like, what, 14, 15?
Yeah, I think I was 14.
You won the Central Wisconsin Superstock Championship.
Yes, I did.
That's awesome.
Wow. I'm afraid to teach my daughter how to drive around the block. Scared out of my mind. And you're winning championships. Holy cats.
2013 ARCA SCAG Midwest Truck Tour Rookie of the Year. Some late model championships at State Park Speedway. You're making the rounds there. And in 2015, diversity program selectee for NASCAR. Tell us a little bit about that. What's the program like, the process, and that whole thing?
Yeah, that was really cool. When I got picked for it, I was still in high school. I think I was only a junior. So I had to move down to North Carolina while also then do my high school classes online. So it was pretty cool to be down there racing full-time in North Carolina and living there while I was still in high school.
Wow.
And I met so many people through NASCAR and through the diversity program, and it was really great just to get all those contacts on my phone, and now when I see them at the racetrack at the ARCA races, they kind of knew who I was or remember my face and my name from being down there that year.
Well, you know, listen, it's kind of cool when you meet people, you know, and you're like, man, I actually have that person's number in my phone. You know,
yeah.
But, you
yeah,
know, it's, right? Yeah. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know people do that to me all the time.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do.
When they get my number. They're mostly bill collectors, but they still have my number either way. But no, that's cool. So, I mean, you did a lot of racing at Hickory, North Carolina.
I mean, I really like that track, actually.
I mean,
that's like
the Mecca. That's like the Jarrett family lives in Hickory. I mean, that's holy ground for NASCAR territory.
So, yeah, we did, I think, all of our races there, except for four of them we did in Langley.
Wow. And then you did some, you spent a summer, a series down in Florida, too, right?
We did Speed Weeks down in Florida.
Nice.
So that was, I think, about seven races in about a little over a week. We did seven races.
Okay. That's cool.
So through all of this, who's the one person that you were most shocked to meet? Like you're like, wow, I can't believe I just talked to. Who was that?
One night I was at some restaurant, and I was talking to this guy, and I mean, I didn't really know who he was until he told me his name. Because I'm like, yeah, like I race cars. I'm from Wisconsin. And then he's like, yeah, I'm Matt Crafton. And I was like, what?
Oh, no way. we know Matt. That's cool. Yeah. Wow. He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Yeah. Then I became a huge fan after that. I was all about Matt Crafton.
Yeah, he's not so bad.
No, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you really didn't know what NASCAR and stock cars were with the go-karts and all that. So what's your take on them now? What's your transition period been like with that, getting into stock car?
Well, when I got into a stock car from go-karts, I think I was 12 years old, and it was a four-cylinder car, and I didn't know how to drive stick. So the night before my first race, we didn't practice or anything. It was like we're going straight to the race at 12 years old. My dad had me in our little Jeep at our campground trying to figure out how to drive a stick. And I couldn't figure it out. Yeah, at 12. So we were going to the race, and I still didn't know what I was doing. And I, like, stalled it so many times. I was, like, there was no girls there. And I was, like, really young, 12 years old. So I put my helmet on, everything, Hans, wearing the whole thing. And I go to the driver's meeting like that because I didn't want anyone to know that I was a girl.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I, like, wore my helmet and everything to the driver's meeting.
And I've told this story on the show before. So I have come from a road racing background. But one of the fastest people that I knew for a long time was a lady. And she raced a Corvette. And she was as fast as every other guy in the country. But she would go to out-of-town races. She would go to bigger races. And she would register with her first initial and her last name, and it would take her name off the car, so no one knew it was a girl.
That is so cool.
Yeah, she was fast. Yeah.
So how'd that race go for you, Natalie?
It was my first race ever, and I think we wrecked like really bad. There was there's no spotters and stuff, and there was a guy on my outside. And I kind of just kept going up the racetrack. I didn't know he was there, and then he went around me into the wall.
Yeah, well, that's all right. 12 years old, I mean, just to be doing that, that's pretty badass.
I would say that's
But then a few incredible races later, I think we were winning. So like it escalated quick.
That's awesome. Well, so how long did it take you to feel comfortable with the shift?
It took me about three races to finally figure it out.
Okay.
Not and then bad. I was getting good at it. Then I was, like, spinning the tires. And then I was, like, wanting to always drive a car that was stick just because it was so fun.
It is fun. I agree entirely. Yeah. I agree entirely. Well, that's cool. So through this NASCAR Drive for Diversity program, you raced with a lot of young, up-and-coming drivers. Who's a driver that, you know, you just went tooth and nail with? Just, you know, every time you got near that person, you were going to have to race as hard as you could.
Oh, I really don't know. That's a good question.
Nope. Nobody that you were like, because I know when I raced, it was like, oh man, not this guy again. You know, like, oh boy.
We had Landon Castle on a few races ago, and we asked him that, and he said AJ Allmendinger. Anytime he sees the 47 in his rear view, it's like, oh man.
Yeah, he says, oh god, this guy's going to run me over. That's what Landon Castle said. He does not like to see AJ Allmendinger anywhere near him.
No.
No, I was just wondering. So you've already run a couple ARCA races this year. Going to, when's the next race?
Road America. So awesome. That's in August.
Is that will that be your first road course in a stock car?
Yep, my first road course in a stock car. And I did a lot of road racing and go-karts, but, you know, that's going to be nothing compared to racing that ARCA car.
Yeah, that whole shifting thing is going to come in handy.
Yes. What are you guys doing to prepare for that?
We are going to go to, like, a road course school at Road America, and then I'm also going to go out on the track with Tony Avi, hopefully, just in a street car. Just because he's a super good road racer, and he'll really help me out.
And he is a super good road racer. And now I just put all the pieces together. So Tony Ave used to be a snowmobile racer, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Look at that. Look at that crew chief Tony pieced it together. I get the family connection now. Yeah, for sure. Well, he's a good teacher.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him, right?
Yeah.
Tony knows that.
That'll do. That'll do for sure. What kind of car are you running there? Do you know?
I'm not too sure, but the first time I met Tony Avi, though, I think was at Road America when he was racing there. So that was really cool. And then just a few months later, we figure out that we're going to be racing Road America in the ARCA car. And my dad called up Tony Avi right away and was like, yeah, we're going to need your help.
Yeah.
Not a bad number to have in that contact list there.
See, that's why you keep those phone numbers right there. Yeah.
Hey, Natalie, one of the things I noticed when I was doing a little research on you was that in 2016, you raced Johnny Sauter pretty hard to the line, I saw. What's it like knowing and competing against a truck veteran like Johnny Sauter?
I love it when Johnny Sauter comes home to Wisconsin to race. He's always so fast and so good. And then he always has all the other little Sauter guys there, too. So it's like Johnny Sauter, Tim Sauter. Like, there's 20 of them, I swear. There's more than them,
Are those guys are those guys that you get to talk too much to lean on for some information and stuff like that from a learning perspective when they come to, you know, home local tracks like that?
Yeah. All the Sauters, they're so helpful. I really I raced against Tim a lot too, and he helped me a ton at a track called State Park Speedway.
Oh, the trucks were just there a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah, they were. So speaking of family though, I mean, so obviously you get the snowmobile racing and everything, but you had some cousins and things that raced for a while. You were all racing something at some point, weren't you?
Yeah, there was a point where my cousin Claire and I were both racing super lates the same year, so we were racing against each other every weekend, and that was really fun. We had a great time doing that.
That's awesome. So what do you think NASCAR should do to increase diversity? Because, I mean, I love stuff like this. I love seeing the programs like that coming through, and there's more and more drivers like yourself coming through the system. And what do you think, if you ran NASCAR, what would you do to improve that?
Well, they have that NASCAR Drive for Diversity program, and that's brought in diversity into NASCAR. So far, they brought in a lot of guys up through there. They just got to bring a girl, and then...
Is there anything you can do, you can think of that might help promote that program? You know, because I don't know from our fan base, for example, how many people maybe know, or like your average typical viewer on Sunday probably may not have heard of this program. They don't talk about it
Bubba Wallace came through it.
Joey Logano, or no, not there was someone else that came through there that was pretty big, I thought.
Daniel Suarez.
Daniel Suarez, thank you. That's what I was thinking of.
And now, Natalie Decker.
On her way. That's
on
right.
On her way to the top.
Yeah. Natalie, so the three races that you've done in ARCA has been with N29 Capital Partners. How'd you get hooked up with them? What's your relationship with that sponsor?
N29 is a business out of Madison, Wisconsin, and they're a company that invests in startup companies. So I like to think of Natalie Decker Racing kind of as a startup company, you know, trying to make it into NASCAR.
That's, I would agree.
That's awesome.
That's a great fit.
That's awesome.
And Venturini. That's a very well-known name in the racing world. How'd you get together with them?
Very well known. So my crew chief back at home is Kyle Wolosik, and he used to work down south for a couple of years. And his first job, I think, was with Venturini Motorsports. So when we were talking to him and saying, like, okay, what are our next steps going to be? You know, if we want to go to NASCAR, what do we got to do next? And we all agreed on ARCA. And then Kyle got me the connection to Billy Venturini during the PRI show. And that's the first time Billy and I talked.
That PRI show is pretty incredible too, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. I have to go every year no matter what. It's just so cool.
That's performance racing. If you're anything to do with racing, it's a big trade show. It's in Indianapolis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's where everybody in the racing world is, regardless of what your specialty is. That's where you got to go. So that's a good place to meet everybody. So you're moved up to ARCA. You moved up. What's the biggest difference from the super stocks and everything? Was it a big jump to ARCA, or is it a lot translate over?
Yeah. Well, I've been doing super late models for about 3 years now. So going into that ARCA car was a huge difference. They're so much heavier, so much bigger. They just drive way different than a super late model. And I got warned so many times by other ARCA drivers, and Billy and my crew chief back at home, Kyle, and then my crew chief that was going to be crewing on my ARCA car, Dave Liner. They were just telling me constantly how different it was going to be, so I was really prepared to feel the difference. And yes, it was a lot different the first time I got
here. They weren't lying to you?
What was that?
It said they weren't lying to you?
No, they definitely weren't lying. But I remember my first race at Toledo, the first caution comes out, and you know, they're like, so, you know, how do you like it or whatever? My crew chief and my crew chief back home on my super late team was actually spotting for me because he also spots for me. And I go, you know what, Kyle? I think I like it better than my super late model.
So three races. You got one more for ARCA. What's the season's still kind of young. So what else is on the schedule outside of Road America for you?
Well, we're doing the whole ARCA Midwest tour with my super late model. And we're going to be going to Slinger Nationals.
Oh, wow.
Super late model. Yeah, so it's going to be a good rest of the year. We got a lot of races coming up.
And what's 2018 look like? Plans finalized for that? You still working on that? What's the thought process with 2018 coming up?
Yeah, N29 and myself and my race team, we're all working really hard on trying to get the next season all figured out and what we're going to do.
Cool.
Yeah, nice. So one thing that we're working on, so we're talking for the listeners, we were talking before we came on air. So we know Natalie was in People Magazine, which was really cool. But we have a goal, don't we? What's our ultimate goal? And we're going to try and push it, and we want our listeners to push it. What's our goal, Natalie?
To get on the Ellen Show.
We want to get on the Ellen
Show.
We got
to do it. So everyone, when you hear this, when we tweet this out, retweet it, we're going to tag Ellen in it. Retweet it. We need to come up. Natalie, we need sorry to put you on the spot with this, but we need a good hashtag for this, like Natalie on Ellen or something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Would that work?
So hashtag Natalie, or maybe Decker on Ellen. What do you think?
Decker on Ellen.
Decker all right.
On Ellen
Got
it is.
It.
We'll write that down. Natalie, you want to give your sponsors a quick plug?
Yes. N29, we've been talking about them a lot during this interview. If it wasn't for them, I would not be doing any of these ARCA races this season. And TRD, Toyota Racing, and, you know, Venturini Motorsports for letting me come on for these races this year. And racing Road America, I'm super excited about that. And I can't thank my fans enough. They're so amazing, and they support me so well. And I love them all so much. and my parents for everything they do for me.
Natalie, how can everyone get a hold of you on social media?
I have a Facebook fan page, Natalie Decker, and an Instagram, Natalie Decker, and then my Twitter handle is Natalie Racing. But I also have a website, nataliedeckerinc.com, and all the social media links to find me are on there.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nice. Well, Natalie, we want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the Lap Traffic Show, helping a couple of good old racer guys out of Detroit, but we want to promote, you know, the up-and-coming racers in the NASCAR and ARCA series. So I want to thank you for letting us know more about you and letting our listeners know and how to follow you. And hopefully we will see you on Ellen very, very soon. And don't forget us when you get there.
That's right.
Okay?
I won't forget you. Don't worry.
All right. Well, thanks, Natalie Decker. Thanks for joining us on Lap Traffic.
Thanks. Well, we behaved ourselves.
We did. She classed up the place.
She did. She did. And apparently the IQ, according to Taylor. Good Lord. I'd be insulted if I knew what it meant.
Right? Exactly.
Very cool. Very cool.
You know, we've had, you know, so this is show 28.
28, yeah.
Think about the guests that we've had. Rick Allen last week was just great.
That's off the charts. People literally were like, dude, you got Rick Allen on your show? Like, boom, yeah.
See, you know what? And it's funny is because I was talking to him, and he's like, people are like, oh, my God, Rick Allen, you got on Lap Traffic? Oh, my God. You know? Dude.
We wish.
Okay,
we
when
wish.
I tell the story,
right.
That's what happened.
Fair
that's,
enough.
That's how
Fair
it,
enough.
That's how
I it like that down. Version, though. That's pretty cool. I like that one.
But we've had some good, I mean, Landon Castle and Rick Allen and
Brian Keselowski. Mike Herman Jr.
Yeah, NASCAR chasm. Jeez, yeah, man. I mean, not so bad. And we're coming up on a milestone.
10,000 downloads, man. We are less than 500 downloads away. This past week, another 400-ish downloads. 10,000. Oh, we should hit 10,000 before 30.
I'll be honest with you. By show 28,
yeah,
30, let's call it, we hit 10,000. I didn't know that we'd have, you know, 500.
No.
When we started, right?
I had no idea.
We started from zero.
Yeah.
We didn't know anyone. We just kind of put it out there.
We're like,
and
we're going to do this.
Literally grown from about five of our friends.
Yeah.
To 10,000 downloads.
Yeah.
So
it's, my friends are so sick and tired of hearing me talk about the podcast because I'm so excited about it because I literally thought, like, this isn't going to be anything. We're going to have like five people listen to us, and we're just going to talk about NASCAR into a microphone to each other because we like to do it. And boom, here we are. So thank you to everyone that's listened, shared it, and all of that. Thank you to all the guests that have been on so far, and we're just getting started.
Yeah, like, we really are. Yeah,
we got ideas that are rolling that we're being selective with the releases of things, and we're pumped, and yeah. So
more to come.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Want to cover some racing over the weekend?
Oh, is that what we do?
Good weekend of racing.
Yeah, it was a good, very good weekend.
I mean,
come on. It was a great weekend of racing.
Kevin Harvick. I know. Yeah.
More to come.
I hope the battery doesn't die before I spill that sippy cup when we get to that part. But you know what? You know, Audie realized.
What's that?
I like Iowa track. I like that track.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 and 4 wide racing all the time. Everywhere you look, good racing. I'm a fan. I like the place.
Well, I tell you, and I think what adds to the quality of the racing at a track like Iowa with Truck and Xfinity is that, one, I think it's awesome that the Truck Series and Xfinity Series had the track to themselves for a Friday and Saturday event. I think that's awesome.
Cup driver is a couple thousand miles away.
Yeah. No, that's... We've talked about it at length, the need for the Cup guys to race and truck and Xfinity, and there's multiple various opinions and why it's right, why it's wrong, why it's good, why it's bad, and all that. But it's there, and it's something we have to embrace. So to get a weekend like this where Truck and Xfinity, again, are in a different location altogether, there was good turnout for the races, I thought, and
absolutely,
it was great racing.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it because... You know, they're coming around the track. I mean, and they can race 3 and 4 wide. That's not none of this, you know, they got to put VHT on the track and drag the tires to get a second groove or not. No.
It's there.
They were racing from the top of the track to the bottom of the track everywhere you looked. So
Kyle Larson probably would have liked that.
Kyle Larson would have loved it.
Yes, sir.
He would love that place.
Tony, how about John Hunter Nemechek? Trucks, man.
Doing a lot with the little. You know what's cool? That he's had a sponsor on the truck this week and came out and did it again. And I'm telling you, man, I mean, nothing against Nemco. I mean, you know, the Nemechek family's very good racers. They raced for a long time. They know what they're doing, but they don't have the budget.
No.
You know, I mean, they just don't. That, you know, they're beating Kyle Busch Motorsports and Keselowski and, you know, some big names, Thor Motorsports. And so they're doing a lot with the little. I'm really, really happy for those guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at the race and you had six rookies in the top 10. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, what experience and to add some decent finishes.
And I actually noticed that during the race. So they did a camera shot, like they're going into turn one and headed towards turn two, like for the lead. They showed like these four or five cars, you know, going for turn one. And there's nothing but rookie stripes everywhere you look on the bumpers. And I'm like, wow, they're going for the lead. This isn't a picture for 19th place.
No. Well, you know, and after coming off two second place finishes, I thought Chase Briscoe might have been able to pull it off this weekend. And he had a good first and second stage. He finished fourth and second. And a seventh place finish isn't bad. Right. But no, it's been fun to watch these guys.
And Harrison Burton.
And he's from the NASCAR Next program. That's another kind of developmental thing that outside of the Drive for Diversity, NASCAR has the NASCAR Next program. And I think Rick Allen was talking about him.
He was. He's real high on him. And he finished 11th.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty good first race.
Yeah. No, it's awesome.
So, but, you know, Matt Crafton had a rough one. His teammate came in there a little too hot in a corner and just clipped the corner of him by accident, and he stuffed it in the wall. So that's going to hurt him in the standings. But I don't think he's going anywhere.
No. He's fourth in the standings. He'll
be around.
He's good. Tony, trucks are off until Thursday, July 6th, a random Thursday night race at Kentucky. And then, Tony.
Drum roll, please.
It's off to Eldora.
We're going to go play in the dirt.
We are going to go play in the dirt. We're going to have fun in the dirt. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Tony, speaking of Eldora, the other day it came out that the Eldora race is not going to be on Fox Sports. It's going to be on Fox Business.
For soccer.
What? WTF, for lack of, are you kidding me?
For soccer. Okay.
So it's funny. People were talking about that. So I tagged us, PETM, the Orange Cone, and NASCAR Chasm, all of us who will be at Eldora. I'm like, I'm pretty sure between the four of our accounts, we'll have you covered in terms of live action
straight from the tap.
Yeah. Yes. Straight from the horse's mouth, right? Yep. Or to the horse's ass. What's that?
Something. No, so looking forward to that. But a good race.
Yeah.
And it was a good race the next night in the Xfinity.
Yeah.
Series.
Christopher Bell.
Yep.
Stage one. Brendan Gaughan, stage two.
Brendan Gaughan, they use some what's a strategery?
Well, yeah, they put themselves in position for the stage, but unfortunately,
They rolled the dice. Yeah. If the things go our way, it'll work. But they did get the stage.
Yeah.
So not so bad, but man, Christopher Bell is bad fast.
Yes, he is.
And so was that other guy. Who's the guy that won?
William Byron?
Oh, yeah.
Where did we hear that name last week at MIS, right?
Yeah, right.
Dude, he got his redemption.
He did.
You know?
Yeah, he did. You know, I never did hear what was with Denny's car that was illegal. I don't remember.
I didn't see. Nope. Forgot to look that one up.
I just didn't see it. It was not legal, but... Anyways.
Great run by our friends over at BJ McCloy. Tommy Joe Martin brought it home 11th, and BJ brought it home 17th. That's a nice run by that unfortunate under-budget organization.
Yeah. But that's stuff, though, that they need. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, they need good finishes like that, and to get them, you know, they know they can run with those guys, but, you know, you can't outrun the cubic dollars.
No.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it takes is cubic dollars.
Well, and that's where it's nice every once in a while, I think, to have races like we had this weekend at Iowa to know where these guys can get some decent finishes, and get in the spotlight a little bit. So,
yeah, that was really cool to
see. Absolutely.
You know, William Byron up front again. Tyler Reddick, another guy that I think is really, really talented guy. That was really good to see.
Well, and the surprising thing is some of the Xfinity regulars that have been around a long time that you would have expected to see up at the front at a race like this without your Brad Keselowski's, Kyle Busch's, Justin Allgaier, ninth, Elliott Sadler, eighth,
and Tommy Joe Martin, 11th.
Right. And then you've got William Byron first, Ryan Tyler Riddick in third, Ross Chastain in fourth. That's all. I get goosebumps talking about that. That's how exciting it is.
Yeah, that is cool stuff, man. So standings are still they're staying static right now. Elliott Sadler, Justin Allgaier, and this Byron and Hemric guys,
third and fourth,
rookies, third and fourth,
and Custer in seventh.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
Custer,
it's crazy.
I've heard of that name.
Heard that name before too. Yeah, it's going to be a fun race to the end there, man.
This is and then they're at Daytona.
Daytona Friday night. Oh, it's going to be some good racing this weekend. I'm excited to see. I love, everyone, some people don't like the plate racing, and I get that. It's somewhat gimmicky in a way. But, Friday night, 4th of July weekend at Daytona, it's iconic. So I get very excited about this race.
That is good NASCAR heritage stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And two, this starts the summer, if you will, the summer races. Guys like Tony Stewart, man, once the 4th of July Daytona race hit, man, turned it up a notch. They knew it's go time, and we're 10 races away from the playoffs starting, so it's make or break for a lot of teams, and we're gonna get into that here shortly.
Yeah, want to hit some social media?
I do, sir. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like our Facebook page, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Listen, stream, download on iTunes or Podbean. Subscribe. Leave some comments on iTunes. That would be pretty cool. We only have like 7. So
yeah,
hit us up with a few more of those. And as we mentioned a little bit ago, we are less than 500 downloads away from giving away this awesome signed MIS picture with Jack Roush, Ricky Stenhouse, Joey Logano, Casey Mears, Matt Kenseth, just to name a few. So make sure you tell your friends to listen. Something tells me we'll be giving that away in, if not next week, the following week for sure. So make sure you listen. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Some shout outs to some new followers. Patrick Drawn from Woodstock, Georgia. Tony Salt from Port Dover, Ontario. Welcome
another,
to the show.
Another Canadian.
We're growing out there. And Penny Gray from Tennessee, who liked our page, and she's one of our loyal Twitter followers as well. Some new followers from Twitter. Dan Matthews at Lugnotes. Devin at DevRunDMC, who
was I like that.
Yeah, it was very cool. He was very happy to find another racing podcast, so welcome to the show. And David at DGTN Teacher, teacher obviously, and a big NASCAR fan. So welcome to the show, guys. Happy to have you. Make sure you say hi to us along the way out there.
Absolutely, welcome.
Website. Tony, I have a ton of new pictures up from MIS on the website. I got them up there.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, well, I was waiting for the show to announce that.
Yeah, sure.
But if you got any extra you want to send me?
Yeah, no, I got that video of the unveiling of Ryan Blaney's.
I think I can put that on there. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
So, yeah, so check out our website. If you missed some of the stuff we posted or if you want to see some extra stuff, it's under the photos link at the top there. Check out our website for some t-shirts, sippy cups, all that kind of stuff. And we mentioned last week, and I've tweeted it out, if you want a koozie and some stickers, just go to our website, go to the contacts page, and hit the fill out the form there and send that over, and we'll get that out. I've got about 20 of them ready to roll. I was just going to wait till after this week, and we'll get them out in the mail on Saturday.
Make us do some work.
Yes.
We'll stuff them and send them out.
Absolutely.
Don't mind doing that at all.
No. So
happy to.
And when you get them, make sure you tweet us a picture at Lap Traffic PC with a nice beer in there too.
Yeah.
So we'd love to see that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, and if you've been to a race, make sure you send us some pictures and stuff.
Yeah, we like it. And if you want to send anything to us, as people do from time to time, to put on display here in the NASCAR Man Cave, you can do that by sending it to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072.
Speaking of sending us stuff, Tony, it was funny. I was challenged on Twitter to a free head-to-head contest in DraftKings this past weekend, to where if I lost, I had to tweet out for everyone to go follow Rich at URFI, I believe it is, and I probably got that wrong, so I will do this again next week, too. And I did lose. But if I had won, he was going to send us something for the man cave, so that was a nice little friendly wager on Twitter we had going on there, so that was fun.
Nice.
Yeah. So, if anyone wants to play me in DraftKings, don't, because you'll win. But if you want them, it's bcrowd4 if you want to do that.
So I did something abnormal on DraftKings this week.
What's that?
I picked my team.
Yeah.
And then I sent you a text.
Yes, you did.
And what was that?
I honestly don't remember. There was some alcohol involved.
I picked.
Yes.
Danica Patrick.
Well, that's right.
So I sent S man. I don't know.
Do you remember that?
I sent it, and I said B. You're a good Catholic boy. How many Hail Marys is it for picking Danica Patrick in a bet?
God, you know what? Now that you say that, that's all coming back.
What do I owe?
Yeah,
you know,
what's the penance?
Actually, she ran pretty well.
She did. I mean, she got into it a little bit there.
A couple times.
But
you know, she gathered it up, though. I mean, even after, Ricky hitting her, which is wildly unfortunate, but...
Did you see the tweet I sent out about that?
No.
When they got into it, I sent out a tweet. I said, well, we know someone who isn't getting laid tonight.
Yeah. He's going to be sleeping on the couch at a motorhome.
There was something else I was going to tell you about.
Actually, it wasn't his fault.
No. Well, I mean, she actually, I think, had a pretty good car.
She
had been able to keep the fenders clean, she might have been able to be in contention
A good road racer.
Yes, no, she is. I give her 100% credit for that.
All right, so we're skipping fantasy this week.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to go right past, let's see, what else?
On to fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Tony, no one took Kevin Harvick.
No real surprise.
I didn't see, we did have quite a few people score some top 5 points, which is good. And it's funny, I'm so used to Junior not finishing in the top 10, I forgot to give people points for Junior.
Oh, wow.
There were some people that took him, so I had to go back and fix that. But that's all fixed and up there. That said, Aaron's
still out there.
Still in first place with 120 points and a 5-point lead over Wes in second. We have a 3-way tie for third with 110 points with Colby, Cody, and Mick. We have a 2-way tie for fourth with 105 points between John and Rich. And we have a 2-way tie for fifth with Tony and Chris with 100.
Yeah, in something in the back of my mind said, play conservative on this one. But I went with Dinger because you want Dinger to win. I mean, it's
one of two shots to get into the playoffs.
It is, but I mean, they're not a big dollar team.
And no.
So you're always rooting for them. But the fact of the matter is, Dinger's got 85% of the car. That those guys do. And he's got to run at 115%, of what the other guys are doing. Just had some bad luck, man. But, another battery. We'll talk about that later.
We'll get to that.
Man.
And just a reminder to everybody, a good friend of the show, Ashley Stang, has her online MS fundraiser. If you can and want to donate and support her cause,
right to our webpage.
On our webpage, on the homepage, there's a picture that's got the Stang Racing logo. Just click that. It'll take you right to it. You can do it through PayPal, all of that. I know a lot of people have donated, and I know she thanks you for that.
Yeah.
Ashley's pretty awesome. She is so funny. But, so just a reminder, if you want to help the MS cause, you can do it right through our website, through Ashley Stang's campaign there.
Yep. And on to Cup.
On to some Cup. Oh, what a good day Sunday
Stage
was.
One.
Stage one.
Truex had the horse to beat.
God.
I mean,
I'm telling you. This guy is right. It's like if there was a prop bet for if Martin Truex Jr. was going to get a stage win, like it'd be like minus 2000, this guy's 17 races, he's gotten 11 stage wins, so those are pretty good odds right there, so stage two, Jimmy Johnson, that was his first stage win, actually.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that.
Yeah,
it just kind of
slipped under the radar a little bit,
you see that. Well, yeah, Chad Knaus had his laptop stolen.
I did not see that.
You didn't hear about that?
No, I did not hear about that.
In San Francisco, he and his wife, he had his whole bag stolen with, his laptop and everything was in it. So somewhere, somebody's got a laptop.
With some notes?
And you open it up and it says, get the car close and let Jimmy do the rest. I think that's
that's the motto right there, right?
I can't take credit for that. That was actually NASCAR Chasm tweeted that.
Oh, no, nice. That's funny. But, Tony, who won the race?
Yeah, some Harvick guy.
Anyways, oh.
Right along.
Yeah, that'd be Kevin Harvick won the race.
That was good.
And, you know, Tony, you know, I can't be a hypocrite. I got to give a little, I don't even know what you call it, for him running and literally like stealing candy from a baby at the K&N race the night before. But, you know, like he said in the post-race interview, you know, it was done mainly to, you know, just bring some awareness to the K&N series and all that.
And you know what? He's a California guy and he's run in that series and kind of, you know, hometown guy kind of thing. So,
yes,
I was okay with that. But do you see the pictures? You talk these cars get hot. Did you see the pictures that he posted?
I saw some of them.
Of the back of his feet, his heels.
Oh, that was from last year's race. That was last year's race, and they did that
full on blisters.
Yes, they put in a blower for the feet. It gets hot in the car down there, especially at a track like Sonoma. I know they've had issues at like Phoenix. Phoenix, I think it was 140 something like
in
that.
The car, yeah.
So, yeah.
You got the engine, the transmission, the exhaust, everything running right under your feet. It does, does get hot for sure.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Martin Truex.
Whoa. Hey. What? I wasn't done talking about Kevin Harvick just yet.
I was.
Excuse me.
Does that count?
36th career win. All right. This is a moment for me. First win is in the Ford. Like, first win for the season. Like, I've been waiting.
Top three for Ford. I'll give them that.
Hell yeah. Excuse me, can we just let this sink? Wait, hold on. Let's take a minute. Now you can proceed.
We're over it. Okay. No, it was a good drive. He did a good job. You can't take it away, but man, seriously, Truex had the horse to beat.
Yeah, like, I mean, this guy's just unbelievable with these stage wins. I just can't wrap my brain around it. It's remarkable. Tony, Stuart Haas, 1-2. Dates back to back wins at Sonoma for Stuart Haas with Tony Stewart winning last year.
Swiping it, yeah.
And Clint Bowyer finishing second in Stewart's old ride from last year.
Yeah, no, they did a good job. You know, and I knew, too, like the safe bet was Denny Hamlin, you know, and he finished right up in the mix, but just didn't quite have enough. But you know what's funny? Like, Truex, those guys... They have better cars now than Joe Gibbs Racing.
It's remarkable.
Yeah. Surprising.
Speaking of Clint Bowyer, though, did you see his car? Dude, that thing looked like a hoopty driving through. Oh, my God. There was so much tinfoil and bent-in sheet metal on that thing. Like, got that for $5 or, you know, $500 at Joe Bob's Corner Auto Sales.
That thing looked a little rough.
Credit guaranteed.
Well used.
Yeah.
But,
well used. Low mileage.
Yeah. But, that's a great race. I like it because there's names that you see in there, guys doing stuff that, you know, you don't normally get to see, you know, some of these guys, Billy Johnson did. Actually, Billy Johnson did a pretty good job. He didn't finish 22nd.
Yeah.
Cole Whitt was 21st. I mean, you know, he's running right in there with Matt Kenseth and Chris Buescher, you know, in a very, very underfunded car.
Well, I think when we get to tracks like Sonoma, Watkins Glen, Martinsville, I think Bristol's been taken out of the equation a little bit with this just because of the aero package and all that. But when you go to these types of tracks, you get to see skill.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to a place like Michigan, it's 90% car. When you go to a place like Fontana, you know, Daytona, it's restrictor plate. Like, this lets the driver show off the skill, and this is where you can see who can actually drive and who maybe should be in a better team.
Right. Look, Michael McDowell finished 14th right behind Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
When's the last time you saw that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I like about it. It levels the playing field.
Yeah,
it just
exactly.
Does.
Yeah.
You know, because
and I think that's why fans have embraced road course more over the years, too.
I do, too. But, you know, if you remember way back, so Landon Castle was saying, you know, these engineers are so good, they can almost predict who's going to run where and how fast. By the aero package. They know it. They know the grip. They know the aero. They know all this stuff. They know where they're going to run.
Tony, solid day for Junior after getting in a wreck early with Danica, brought it home top six. And that's two back-to-back top tens for Junior. So, like I said, you know, we're getting into the July, the summer, and teams turn it up. So, you know, hopefully this is a little momentum roll that they can get on there.
I read something on Junior today. I guess he's going to have a fireworks show. He's gonna have it on July 3rd because he has trouble getting it into the 4th.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Tony, we just lost like half of our fan base with that. Thanks.
I didn't write it, but it was funny.
Wow. I'm literally going to find like a drum roll to snare snap to put in there.
Hey, that was funny. I don't care who you are. That was funny.
Speaking of the Danica, man, she, you know, so clips and gets into it with Junior, which it, that wreck was funny because it was going into the turn and then Junior spun back around and hit her as she was completing the turn coming out there.
Yeah.
I don't remember what turn that was because I lose track of those.
That's 11.
That was 11.
You know what it is? Is they were both, like, I think Danica was looking in her mirror watching him and he was locked in on her. And by the time they both hit the brakes, it was a little too late.
Yeah. You
know, she was swinging way wide. He was going through the corner backwards. And fortunately, it wasn't, you know, it could have been worse there. But, you know, they both gathered up pretty good.
Yeah. And then we talked to Danica and Ricky got into it a little bit there. Tony, there was a lot of different stage strategy that started early on. You know, guys like Kevin Harvick, you know, they pitted with three to go at the end of stage one, at the end of stage two,
They were looking at the end of the race, not the stage.
No, yeah, they forfeited a lot of potential standings points, potentially, but who knows what it would have resulted in had they not pitted when they did. And you had guys pitting, you know, mid-stage. There was a ton of strategy from the get-go out there, and, you know, I'm biased. I'm glad a caution didn't come out there towards the end. But there were, you know, I was joking about waiting for a phantom caution to come out. But there were actual visible, legit reasons where they could have thrown the caution flag. And I was shocked they didn't. Austin Dillon spun through the turn 11 there. And I was like, oh, guaranteed caution's coming out. And you couldn't argue it if they had. So I was really surprised with that.
Yeah, I agree. That was they could have done it easily. You know, one of the other, you know, following Twitter, it's always fun, you know, road courses, because some of these guys, they know they're not good road course racers, and they'll just tell you they're not, you know. So it was Landon, our buddy Landon. He says, you know, so typically I go to the racetrack and I'm bitching about my race car. He goes, I'm pretty sure my race car is bitching about me right now. He's like, this isn't even kind of okay. So,
no.
But he's trying.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't do bad at all. He had a decent run there, brought it home. So I was a little worried about Casey Kane.
Wow, the end there. Dude, yeah, that was
moved that concrete wall.
Yeah, she moved it.
Several feet.
Yes, yeah.
That's not cool.
No, and I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate that it happened literally at the end of the race that, you know, because of the wind that took away from the incident, I think, a little bit. And that was a hard hit. And that car was trashed.
I mean, that car is going right to Dirty Mo Acres.
Yes.
Into the race car
graveyard there.
Man,
yeah.
That car was tore up.
Yes. No. Yeah. So, no. You know, that's almost like Jimmy Johnson's hit a couple weeks ago when he literally got out of the car and sat on the track to collect himself there.
Yeah.
No, he took a hard – fortunately, probably the reduced speed there probably is what took away from that being a real serious thing.
I don't know how fast he was going there. He's still got to be going over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He punted into a concrete wall.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Not cool.
At all. Tony, to the standings here, and this is just an interesting tidbit from the professor here with his nerdness. Tony, we got 10 races before the playoffs start, and through 16 races, we've got 11 different winners. That's crazy and awesome.
So what happens if we have 16 spots and we have 20
winners? Then it would default to multiple
points.
Wins? Then points. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
You know, and I think that would be awesome if we had 17 different winners, because every year you hear the announcers say, oh, win and you're in, win and you're in.
Yeah.
And that's mathematically, it's not win and you're in.
And that's exactly where I was going with that question. Oh, we're in the playoffs. Maybe not.
No.
Well, don't, maybe not yet.
So we got 10 races to go. We've got 11 different winners already. Kyle Busch, winless. Chase Elliott, winless. Jamie McMurray, who we wouldn't have thought earlier on in the season, but he's up there in contention.
Yeah, he could.
Denny Hamlin without a win. Clint Bowyer, Matt Kenseth, Eric Jones. All these guys do not have a win. And then you got Joey Logano, too, who has a win, but it's encumbered, so it doesn't count. So you got all these guys that do not have a win that realistically we could have 16, 17 different winners.
I'll tell you what, next week, you know, about that 88 car.
Right, exactly. Junior.
He's pretty good there.
And not to mention, we also have two guys with wins outside of the top 16. So the last few races of the season here are going to be badass and fun to watch.
They're going
to
be pushing real hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, now the way that they started out, the Penske guys, you know, I think I even said on here, well, Logano, okay, the win was encumbered, but, he's coming back. I mean,
yeah.
And that he's not. He's been running good, but he's not.
He's in there in the
point. A bunch of races like he was early in the year.
Kyle Busch said on Twitter that he, someone said, hey, how crazy would it be if everyone's got to win? And he said, well, at the rate we're going, we're going to need to be able to get in on points.
Yeah.
There could be some guys that you would have expected to get in and are up there in the standings that don't get in because they may not have a win.
Wow.
Which is crazy to think about, right? Tony, I don't know if you saw this. The orange cone black flagged me.
I did not.
Yeah, he threw the black flag at me.
For what?
Because I wanted to jump the gun, and I said to him, I said, mid-race, I said, can you believe that next race at Daytona will be the last race that Junior races full-time at Daytona?
Get your head around that.
And he black flagged. I jumped the gun. I was too premature on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was black flagged.
What's his new Twitter handle? He changed
Obi-Wan Kenobi or something that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, I was black flagged.
That's funny.
It's better than being lap traffic, though.
It is. You're not a lap down.
Yeah. Tony, per your request, you wanted to do a little silly season here. And what better day to do it?
Man, I'm telling you, I think it's about to start any minute. Now, we did see Chase Elliott signed. New 4-year deal. Jimmy Johnson signed.
Jimmy Johnson.
I think Hendrick's he's trying to grab his guys and lock them down early.
Yeah.
Because I think he sees the writing on the wall. I mean, I think it's going to go berserk out there. This is going to be a big shakeup this year, I think, like we haven't seen in a long, long time.
There are a lot of guys whose contracts
and gals.
Jamie McMurray is done in 2017. Haven't heard anything on him. Brad Keselowski, who we assume is going to re-sign with Penske.
I can't imagine him not re-signing.
No.
Only because, is there a car out there that's like head and shoulders above his? Not that I'm seeing.
Nope.
But
you've got Austin Dillon with RCR. Obviously, I think that's a safe bet that he's going to be back with RCR.
Well, that's just his grandfather.
That's what I'm saying, right?
It probably make Christmas time a little sketchy. But, yeah.
Ricky Stenhouse, 17. Daniel Suarez, 2017. Now, I think that's an interesting thing because Daniel Suarez, that was interesting because of the late situation with Carl Edwards there. That could be a potential car that, I don't know. Do they bring Suarez back in? I think they would have to, right?
I think he stays.
Yeah. Matt Kenseth, does he come back for Joe Gibbs? Does Joe Gibbs drop to 3? Do they keep the 4?
I think Matt Kenseth could be a seat filler at Hendrick just to keep it warm enough till William Byron gets there.
Wow. In the 88 then, right?
5, whatever.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Pick your number. Like a Mark Martin.
Right.
Get an experienced guy. He's going to run well. You get him good equipment, he'll be fine. But, William Byron's, he's running fast enough, and he's winning races. But the fact of the matter is he's only at, 14 races.
Yeah.
Under his belt.
He
needs some more seat time probably. But that's a tough one. So, let's say William Byron goes out and wins the Xfinity Championship. Do you make him go back and do it again?
Right.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. Ryan Blaney. So, Ryan Blaney, Wood Brothers. They're up in 17.
I think he likes those guys.
I think he likes those guys too. But
what I saw at that press conference in Michigan, I think they all get along pretty well.
Yeah. Paul Menard. Now that's an interesting one. Paul Menard, as long as Mr. Menard writes a check, he's good to go.
Yeah. I was thinking about, he must really suck on a cash register.
Good Lord.
If you get out of the store, just go race, do something.
Cannot handle the return process.
Yeah. Right. Get away from the saws. Just put it down. Put it down.
Kurt Busch, 2017 Stuart Haas. And Stuart Haas, I think, is an interesting team to look at here. Kurt Busch is up in 17. Danica Patrick is up in 2018. Clint Bowyer is up in 17. Kevin Harvick is good through 2019.
They're one of the I wouldn't say older teams, but those are drivers. We talked about it. They're late in their late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
Do they make a youth swing? Start picking up some of these up and coming.
Well, I think part of that, Cole Custer, Stuart Haas did not have an Xfinity team. Now they have a full-time Xfinity team with Cole Custer. I don't know if Cole Custer is going to be their guy, but they're at least working on a developmental thing there. But I think the interesting thing with Stuart Haas is, all right, there's already talk. Danica Patrick signed through 18. This very well may be her last year at Stuart Haas Racing. Yeah. And I think there's some big truth behind that, because they're even Jeff Gordon was asked that, is this the last season for Danica Patrick? I believe he said yes on the pre-race show.
Well, so she can be signed.
Yeah.
But if they don't have a sponsor.
Exactly.
Guess what?
And that was with the whole thing with Nature's Bakery. Okay. She had the sponsor. She doesn't have the sponsor and she's not getting the performance. So it's going to be hard to get a ride for her, I think, somewhere outside, She may get signed, but it's not going to be. Hendrick's not going to sign her.
Does she come back at
JTG kind of team, something like that? Yeah. And what's the finish is going to be like with that type of an equipment? Clint Bowyer's only signed through 17, but he was brought in to replace Tony Stewart. You'd have to think they're going to re-sign him. I know, Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, they've got their relationship from RCR. They're good teammates together.
A good replacement maybe in that 10 would be Natalie Decker.
I like that. Right after her Ellen performance.
ARCA.
Yeah, so. I like that. Kyle Larson. He's up in 17. Both Chip Ganassi drivers are up in 17, and I'd have to think.
If I was Chip Ganassi right now, I'd be throwing hookers through his window. I mean, you got to stay with our team. Yeah. Whatever you got to do. I mean,
Now, another.
I'm kidding. Kyle's married. Of course. And has the kids, and I was kidding. But
it's a clarification.
I'd be recruiting hard. How about that?
Yeah, so. There we go. Eric Almirola. Up in 17. Petty's already dropped to a one-car team this year. The success has been better, but it's still probably not what RPM would like.
Well, it'd be interesting when Eric comes back.
Which is in talking a couple weeks.
Yep. So now does Bubba Wallace pop up somewhere?
I mean, there are so many potentials, out there. I think in terms of, I think guys like Matt Kenseth, for an example. Is he coming back? Who takes the 88 spot? That's the golden.
That it probably is. That's the golden ticket right there, right?
Right. Eric Jones, 2017 on I think that's a leased charter for this year. So that's going to be interesting one.
That kid's good. I like Eric. I like him.
Yeah, and then You got guys like, all right, so we talked about Danica Patrick, who's up in 18 and may be done this year. What about Casey Kane, whose contract goes through 18, not doing anything at all there?
I think that's just about run its course.
But, does that mean he's done racing? Does he go somewhere else? We could see a lot of flip-flopping. What the term in baseball, football is, change of scenery might, breed new, So could a guy like Casey Kane switching with, give me some, Matt Kenseth.
Yeah.
Not to say that I think Matt Kenseth is going to go to Hendrick, but that type of an anomaly there or analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's true, a different way of, you keep trying to do it one way, and if it's not working, maybe it's time to switch to a Toyota team or a Ford team or something like that and just see if they got a different idea on how to approach things. And sometimes it does work.
Yeah.
It really does.
Anyone else you want to talk about there, sir?
No, I think
that's a nice little preview of the silly.
I think it's going to be crazy.
Somebody said it's not the silly season; it's the hysterical season this year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, the silly season is what kept us fueling there before Daytona when we didn't know what we were going to be talking about.
Man, then things just started. Carl Edwards dropped out of the sky. Like what?
Well, and it sounds like we may get some, you know, maybe we're not going to get the retirements, but it sounds like we could have some big moves in December and January there.
Yep. I think it's going to be interesting for sure. I don't think it's going to be December and January. I think we're going to be hearing about it in August.
It's possible.
I think the dominoes have started to fall. I think they're going to really start tumbling.
I like it. Sir, you ready to go to work?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. All right. Welcome to the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's resident Crew Chief Tony Smith. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Yes, yes, I know. It's so nice of you to come in and fly in every week. We really appreciate it.
Anything for you. I just heard Natalie Decker was going to be here, so.
Yeah, you know, we wish.
Classing up the place.
Tony, today's question comes to us from Hugh. With all the battery failures this year, should NASCAR require a backup battery to improve competition?
Well, it's hard to mandate, you know, something that, you know, common sense should dictate. There's more and more and more draw on these electrical systems right now with, you know, just the electricity to run it. And then you add in all the gauges. And then, I don't know if you saw, like, when Chase Elliott wrecked in qualifying or practice, I guess it was, there's like eight blowers, fans. You know, they have air ducts and everything, blowers going everywhere. They're sucking so much electricity out of these cars that it's crazy. Now, to me, I would. These lithium ion batteries don't weigh what a lead acid battery used to weigh. I mean, that's just a fact. And then a lot of these guys are putting them on the left side of the car, which is where you want it typically. Anyways, I don't know how you mandate that.
Good call. Tony, Hugh would also like to know if you are available for the 18 team this week, since it looks like they're going to be without their temporary crew chief and their regular crew chief still has a week to go.
You know what? If I had an extra 25 grand laying around just in case some chucklehead missed a lug nut, I'd do it. But I don't have that. I don't have that kind of spare change at this moment. So I'm going to pass. I appreciate the offer. That's funny. That's really funny.
Tony, got anything else for us?
Yeah, just more on the, you know, on the electrical stuff. I talked to quite a few crew chiefs, actually Brian Keselowski being one of them. And I think what they're saying is that they're running alternators, but they're getting so hot they're almost melting them. You know, there's so much because the aero, there's no air in that engine compartment. They're not cooling them, and. I don't know. I even asked, like, all right, we used to run on the Trans Am car. We used to run the alternator, mounted it to the rear differential, and ran it off the drive shaft. Haven't got a clear answer on that, if that's even legal to do in NASCAR at the Monster Cup level. But they've got to do something. I just, you know, you're losing races over a battery. You know, I just, you know, you got a $20 million team or whatever, and, man, you're losing because of a battery. Just kill me now. I couldn't even get over that. So, anyways, that's my two cents.
Good
on that.
Deal.
Yeah,
Tony. We talked last week and we forgot to go back to it about the USA Today article.
Oh, Sean Winter.
Yes.
Yeah. So, reached out to him through another friend. We've got a. I'll get back to you. He hasn't said no. Now he's done a couple of shows.
Yes.
Like I think he did Sirius XM like the next day.
Yeah.
He is taking a large amount of heat. He's a pretty strong, opinionated guy, which, you know, he's an editorial guy.
Yeah.
And I get that. But I want to, you know, just get his input on it. So I don't know that we're going to get. I think we got to wait for this fire to calm down a little bit.
All right.
And we'll probably.
And we'll rekindle
it. Yeah. Yeah, we'll fire it up again. But he's a local Detroit guy. He's right here nearby. And we have a mutual friend. And I'm trying to work through that, and
nice.
You know, stay tuned on that one.
Good deal. Tony, you ready for some lucky dogs?
Get it into it, man.
Tony, who was your lucky dog of the weekend?
I'm giving my lucky dog to NASCAR for no debris, letting them run to the end, because Lord knows they were on the track and off the track three times a lap for the last 10 laps.
You know, and I guess that kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week and my little rant with consistency. Like, I'm glad they didn't throw the caution, right? Not just because I'm glad of the outcome, but I'm glad they let him race. But again, that was so, I, I, opposite of what NASCAR does. Like, no. You were just you.
But here's the thing on the straw hat thing. Yeah. They all knew it was Jack Roush's hat, and they were just happy to get rid of the damn thing. They wanted someone to run over it. They didn't want anybody to go out and get it. Oh, so wow.
You are not making friends today, my friend. Tony, I'm giving mine to not just Kevin Harvick, but the entire number four team. Childress stuck to the plan all day. They were in contention to get stage points, but they win for the win. And miraculously, there was not a debris caution, and there were times where it could have been thrown. So, and the pit crew did a great job. So, no surprise, Homer, me, yes, Homer route, yeah. to the number four team is my lucky dog. Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
I'm going to put down the Furniture Row team. And I know they had a mechanical failure. Okay, yep. That happens. But, man, it just seems to happen all the time. Man, their win stages are great. Close it out, brother.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I mean, now they won twice. Right?
Yeah, they've won twice. Fair, yeah, it's not.
But I mean, he's like dominates, disappears.
He could
dominates,
have a lot more.
Dominates, disappears.
Yep.
And I don't understand. I'm missing something.
Tony, this is the first time since doing our Lucky Dog segment here that I'm agreeing with you on that. I have also put the 78 team as a lap down.
That's
a true story.
That one had to hurt.
It did. I'm like, but yeah, the 78, you know, for the same reasons. It's like, you know, it's nice that it's spreading the wins around a little bit because this guy, you know, Truex could have 5-6 wins easily.
Honestly, could.
Easily.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, over to some listener picks. Troy's lucky dog is Kevin Harvick, and the long green flag run worked out very well for him.
That was a really long green flag run.
56 laps at a road course is
surprising.
A long time.
Yep.
That's half the race. It was 110.
You're going to see that at Watkins Glen.
No. His lap down is Toyota for sponsoring the race with three Fords finishing in the top three.
Yeah.
Mick's lucky dog is Clint Bowyer. Fought hard all day, brought it home in a tinfoiled piece. The lap down for Mick is Larson. He had a chance to really open up the points gap between him and Truex, and he didn't either.
You know, he started on the pole, took off. You
that's,
know,
you know, that's kick ass. You know, one Michigan.
This is cool, but, you know, I think the road racing talent kind of separated itself there after a minute or two.
A little bit.
He had a head start for a second, but
yes.
They found him.
Yeah. Jeff's lucky dog is the number four team, first win of the year, and in a Ford. Lap down is Ricky Stenhouse for obvious reasons.
Yeah, that sucked.
Colby's lucky dog is Junior because his day ended a lot better than it started. And his lap down is Dinger at Sonoma is not Dinger at Watkins
Dinger
Glen.
Dinger at Watkins Glen
yes,
is a different
it's a
guy.
Different machine.
Yep.
Andrew's lucky dog is NASCAR for not calling the debris caution, a no debris caution.
I like that idea.
Lap down is Dinger and the team for probably missing out on a playoff spot. Watkins Glen, maybe.
That
never know.
Closing.
Road Dog. His lucky dog is the 88 for spinning early, getting some damage, and still bringing it home sixth.
Yeah, Junior had a good run.
And
you know, honestly, he's a pretty good road racer.
Oh, yeah.
Know,
yeah.
You know,
he's. I think they said he had, like, the best average finish there. I forget what time span they were looking at, but he's had a good run there.
Yeah, but you know what? Just a sidebar on that. You know, he filled in for Jeffrey Earnhardt this week, as Boris said. It's probably going to be his last run. But he's the one that taught Junior how to run road courses.
He taught a lot of people how to run road courses.
He taught a lot and lot of those Cup guys how to road race. So, he's done a good job.
Yeah. His lap down is the 78 for having the fastest car and not getting it done.
Amen.
Kevin's lucky dog is Byron for his first win. Love seeing a truck guy win a truck race. Lap down is the crew for the 18, and he wonders how many crew chiefs Joe Gibbs Racing has.
They're not getting me.
No. For the second week in a row, our buddy Steve from Chicago's in, and he chimed in here with his lucky dog is the 14 of Clint Bowyer, and his lap down is a 78 of Truex.
Yep.
So
seems popular theme.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How'd we do on the fantasy picks or the your odds?
So my odds are spot on. I mean, I don't know what else to do other than really pat myself on both shoulders here. But Kyle Busch, I set him at plus 450. He came in at plus 500. Martin Truex, I set at plus 750. He came in at plus 450, so I was a little off on that. Kurt Busch, I put at 1,000. He came in at plus 15. AJ Allmendinger, I put at plus 15. He came in at plus 9.
Yeah, I was thinking that might have been a little high. Yeah. You know, Dinger's a road course guy. So.
Yeah, well, I'll probably have a little bit different number for him at Watkins Glen.
Yep.
On to Daytona. It's a little hard to set for a race like that, Tony. But I am putting Kyle Larson at plus 500. I am putting Chase Elliott at plus 750. Ryan Blaney at plus 850. Our Daytona winner, I am putting at plus 1,000. And maybe a couple long shots here. Jamie McMurray at plus 1,500. And Junior at plus 3,000. That's where I'm at on the odds.
Man, and our picks again. Oh. PETM, guys. We should talk about that. We're going to be, is that next week we'll be on?
Yes, sir. PETM? Yes, yes.
Should we tell everybody about what's going on?
Sure.
No show here.
No show. Yeah, so the Lab Traffic Podcast is taking a semi-hiatus.
Just
Tony's,
for the week.
Just for the week. Tony's going to be out of town next weekend, and 4th of July is on Monday. We got a big party. I'll put some pictures and videos of that up.
You'll enjoy that.
You know, and then Tuesday, our normal recording day is the 4th of July. It was just going to make it for a little bit of a challenge with the show. So
the PETM guys invited us.
Yes. So we, next week, probably Wednesday or Thursday, will be on the PETM podcast as our invasion to their show, as they invaded ours.
We can link it. Yeah, we can probably bring a link or something. Maybe we'll, over to that,
yeah, we'll figure something out. I mean, at least we'll get it on theirs and we'll hit it up on social media.
They are giving us a royal ass whipping.
They did.
In picking.
Yes.
That's like 4 weeks in a row.
Well, the last couple weeks, it's only been like a spot or two.
Yeah,
this week.
Michigan was close.
Yes, this week was the ass whooping. Yes, you had Dinger, and I finished 35th. I had the 22 who finished 12th. Sherwin had Kyle Busch who finished 5th, and Rusty had Keselowski who finished 3rd.
I didn't see Keselowski finishing 3rd.
I didn't either.
I didn't see that one coming at all.
Well, you know, and had that caution come out, he probably would have won the race because he was on fresh tires and he was picking people off and knocking lap times off quick.
Yep.
Tony, who do you have this week going to Daytona?
I'm going with Junior.
Junior? Wow. All right. So you want to score no points again, I see.
Well, okay. Hey, man. I'll tell you what. No, I'm gonna ride it. I think that's a decent pick. You know, he's good at Daytona.
He is. This could be.
I don't think that's crazy. I'm just giving you a hard time. Yeah.
I'm going with Chase Elliott.
Another good pick.
I might take him. So it's Alan PETM. Those are our picks. But yeah, just to, so. A couple weeks ago, Sherwin was on the show, and so now we're paying back the favor. We're coming on to their show as the Eldora preview. Eldora's 2 weeks away.
I know.
Something tells me we're going to talk some drinking stories maybe on the show next week.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. So next week, what do they say? Eric Almirola. What are they talking about for him?
So they are looking mid to end July. They're hoping Indy or Pocono he's back in the car there.
I just want him to be back 100%. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, they've already put Billy Johnson and Bubba Wallace in there, and they're points wise.
Well, you know, you remember Denny Hamlin had a similar injury, and he felt fine, but physically, you know, the back just wasn't ready. And I'm sure that's probably where he's at. You know, he was at the track this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so he's probably more than ready and feeling like he could get into it. But yeah, you just, you know, something like that. Once it's injured, you don't want to re-injure.
Right.
You know, because you didn't give it enough time. So, yeah, like you said, hopefully he comes back 100% there. Tony, did you see Australia has banned Robbie Gordon from ever racing in Australia again for doing a donut on a busy street?
I did see this. It's totally hilarious, man. I used to hang out with Robbie in the 90s. The guy's a lunatic, man. And I mean, if you ever met Robbie Gordon, I mean, donuts are his, that's like his thing. Like, and he could do a donut in your living room. I mean, it's
and
unbelievable.
Not touch anything.
No, not touch a thing. Nope.
Yeah.
And so that's like his thing. And honestly, I don't think he thought that he was even doing anything wrong. It's part of the show when you're at the races, you know.
Well, he said he asked a couple security guys, and they're like, "Yeah, whatever." And yeah,
apparently those weren't cops. They weren't in charge of anything.
I saw that. I'm like, that's hysterical. Tony, I saw right before we started the show, I was just doing a check to see if there was anything else to touch on. And Steve O'Donnell, VP of Racing Development for NASCAR, has said and confirmed that stage racing is here to stay. But there might be some tweaks to it for 2018.
I think it's pretty good, honestly.
A couple kinks, you know. But I think, and again, this is criticism NASCAR takes on a lot, is, all right, they they change stuff so often. It's like, all right, we could pick out probably 10 things that, yes, could be done to improve the stage racing. One of them, I think, being, and we've talked about it before, the trucks in Xfinity is not, awarding first place stage points to the wherever the Xfinity regular or truck regular finishes in the race. You know, I'm not sure if they're going to get to that. Is anything you can think of that they...
I be honest with you, I like it. I think NASCAR reacts too much to fan stuff.
Yeah.
But our buddy here, Steve Merrick in studio, saying more stages.
Yeah.
What about more stages?
Well, and they've talked about that.
Five, you know? Well, they did. Well, where did they do it?
The
they did
Coke, it at, Charlotte for
Charlotte,
the 600.
They did that. Yeah, they
and there was talks of doing that for the marquee races like Daytona, Darlington.
Yeah, maybe like those big four.
Yep.
Yeah. I could live with that.
Yeah, yeah. We are, as Tony mentioned, taking next week off from an actual show, but we will be on the PETM podcast next week for our pre-Eldora party. So everyone, make sure you stay tuned on social media
for
that.
Make sure you hit us up on Twitter. Download. We're so close to 10,000.
It's nuts.
I want to give this away this week.
I do.
I really do. I don't want to wait until our off week.
No.
Our All-Star 4th of July celebration with the PETM guys. But I'd like to get that this week if at all possible.
Yeah. So make sure you follow us, laptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, at laptrafficpc, Facebook, laptrafficpodcast. Download, subscribe, talk to us. We'll still be around on Twitter and all that, even though we're not doing an actual show. So we'll still be here next week.
Yep.
And make sure you stay tuned to us. First time you'll be able to hear us live on the PETM podcast next week.
Yep. And a big thanks to Natalie Decker for joining us, up-and-coming star in the ARCA series in the Drive for Diversity in NASCAR. Really excited about having her on the show. We'll follow her and see how she does at Road America. Don't forget, we're going to be hitting it up on Twitter real hard. Hashtag Decker on Ellen. We want to see her on the Ellen Show. You can also find her on Twitter at Natalie Gracie. So make sure you tune in every week, as always. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See ya!